And that's something that God has to put in each of our hearts. I press toward the mark. There's a goal. There's something in my sight, and I run with all my heart, all my strength, all my might to attain it. It's not a half-hearted effort. It's not something take it or leave it. No, I put everything within me to seek and to find my God. You know, many times boys and girls come to camp and the Lord Jesus touches their hearts. And I wonder if I ask you tonight, how many of you have felt Jesus touch your heart while you're here at camp? How many of you? Thank God. Thank God. Camp is a wonderful place. Just the other day, Brother Paul said to me, thank God for Pilgrim Camp. And I say, amen. And we all could say, thank God for Pilgrim Camp. Thank God that God is in Pilgrim Camp. Thank God that He meets us at Pilgrim Camp. Can you hear me in the back? Stay awake there, Brother Chris. He didn't think I knew his name. Praise God. There was a verse that, just a thought I'd like to leave with us in closing tonight to challenge us, because we don't stay at Pilgrim Camp. We love Pilgrim Camp. We wish we could live here, right? Well, maybe you do. Maybe you don't. But we go home, right? We always say that. We go home. We go back to wherever we come from. And then we have to get back into the regular routine or whatever our life, you know, gives us. Maybe some of you are in school. Maybe some of you are homeschooled. Maybe some of you are going to college. Whatever it may be, we have a job. Some are retired. But we go back home. And we want to stay true to Jesus, right? I hear that over and over again in our young people. We want to stay true to Jesus. Let's be true to Jesus. So how does that happen? Do we just really try hard? And we really say, I'm going to make a real effort to stay true to Jesus. Well, it starts that way. It has to be a matter of your will. You have to want to stay true to Jesus. It has to begin. And if you don't have that desire, ask God to put that desire in your heart. Lord, I want to stay true to you. And then, you know what I'm going to tell you, right? You need to continue to read your Bible. Do you have morning devotions here at camp? Yes, you have bunk. You sit on your bunk, you open your Bible, you read something, right? You have morning devotions every morning. But when you go home, you should not neglect God's Word. You need to read God's Word. And what else is needed? Well, you need to pray. You need to talk to God. That's how we grow in our relationship with God. You talk to a friend. You text him, right? No, you don't have to text him. You just talk to him. You pray to him. And he's with you wherever you are. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. Anywhere you are, you can talk to him. He hears you. And then you're going to go to church, right? Nashawn, you're going to go to church, right? Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes, you're going to go to church. Because there are others just like you who want to live for Jesus. And so we're going to come together as the body of Christ. We're going to be encouraged. We're going to lift one another up. We're going to share our faith together. And we're going to grow. Our brother said we're put into a family. We're in this big family. You're my brother. You're my sister. Hallelujah. Not everyone said amen. Praise God. And God's love flows among His people. But there's something else that I'd like to just leave with us tonight that I feel is so needed among us as pilgrim campers. We've been praying. I've heard it repeatedly in the prayers of people in Watch Rock, and I heard it in Brother George's little talk tonight, that Jesus wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus never said, now here's the Sermon on the Mount, and here's my commands to you, now go be a Christian. He never said that. Never. He told his disciples, here's the commands, here's my words, but I want to live those commands out in your life. And how's that going to happen? I'm going back to heaven. But I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you, who will be in you. And it's a wonderful promise, boys. We don't have to go home and try harder to be good. What we need to do is say, Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me, Lord Jesus, with your Holy Spirit. You know, one of the words we've been considering, words to disciples. One of the words to the disciples was this: now you go and wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. You go and you wait for the promise of the Father. Jesus was telling, I have something for you. You don't have to do this on your own. You don't have to evangelize the world. You don't have to turn the world upside down in your own strength. I want to give you the power that you need to live for me, to be my witnesses. And you know, when that took place, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. We looked at that a little bit on Sunday morning, where it was an evidence that Christ had ascended on high. He's received this gift from the Father, and he pours it out on the church. And they're empowered. Their lives are changed. Peter, the one who couldn't even say a word for Jesus, the little servant girl said, you're one of them. And he said, no, God. No, I don't even know him. And you're going to go back to school, and they're going to say, where were you? Oh, I went to play pilgrim camp. Pilgrim camp, what's that? Oh, we just went swimming and went to church. You're a Christian? You go to church? Ah, sissy. No, they don't say that anymore, right? No. Are you going to stand? Huh? Are you going to stand up? God wants to fill you with his Spirit. So Peter, this one who said, no, I don't know him, denies him three times. On the day of Pentecost, what does he do? He stands up and says, you're the ones who crucified him. But God raised him from the dead. And we're witnesses of these things. Hallelujah. And this Jesus has ascended on high, and he's poured out the Holy Spirit. And so these men were transformed, and God wants to transform your life. Sit up back there. Yeah, you. He wants to transform our lives and make us men and women, boys and girls, who say, I love Jesus. He's my Savior. And he wants to be your Savior too. And so I'd like to just leave you with that prayer, that simple, simple prayer. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God desires so much to give you that power that you need to live for him. And that's for all of us. I believe God wants to answer that prayer. That's what we need. The Church of Jesus Christ needs the Holy Spirit to fill, to breathe life into us, to cause us to be the light in this world that we need to be at this time. Our brother talked about Esther. You've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And now is the time for the children of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, to stand up and say, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. God died for you. He sent his Son. The Son of God was crucified so that you might live. We can complain about our society and how dark things are getting and how we're being persecuted as Christians. Well, let's rise up as the church and be the lights that he wants us to be. Let's be different. And we can't do that on our own strength. No way. We're not called to do it in our own strength. He wants to give us his Holy Spirit, the power and presence of Christ in us. You see, when the Holy Spirit came, Jesus told his disciples, then you're going to know that I'm in you. Jesus became real to them, so real to them, He wasn't just in heaven. He hadn't just ascended, but he was right there with them. He was in them. And he wants to be that real to us. And so he sends the Holy Spirit to make us holy, that our lives would tell for Jesus.